One of my favorite professors from Perkins School of Theology is Dr. Jamie Clark Soles. And as Genevieve and I both can attest, she is a true lover of John's gospel. It is her ride or die gospel. Initially, I did not really share her passion, but after a year with her, I too was convinced John's gospel is incredibly rich. Through the parables and life-changing events he documents, we find nuggets of transformation for believers. John's gospel is truly full of food for the weary soul. By now, after following the last few weeks of our lectionary, there may be a chance that you might think you were done with conversations about bread. Sorry, not just yet. For today, we find Jesus once again using bread as a metaphor. Jesus uses the most basic and necessary meal in day-to-day life in order to help the community to know he is the essential key to life. The bread metaphors offer a way of knowing and believing Jesus could feed their very souls and repair broken relationships between them and God. But I have to admit, the expressions on eating flesh and drinking blood for eternal life could have been a bit problematic for the early church. To those who heard these words, it could have been difficult to imagine the description of a benevolent creator, given how difficult their lives had been. Some were faithful, others felt God had abandoned them. And now their hopes were riding on Jesus, the son of Joseph, who attempted to engage them with what they may have perceived to be foolish talk about eating flesh and drinking his blood. One could certainly wonder, what were they to do with this? And today we may be asking the very same thing. While consuming bread and wine at meals were as routine as the prayers used to bless them, the idea of consuming human flesh and blood would have been just as shocking over 2,000 years ago as it is for us today. Yet these powerful words ascribed to Jesus in John's gospel, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them," becomes deeply embedded in the Eucharistic ritual. I cannot help but wonder about Jesus' motivation in using such a strong metaphor for his ongoing presence among his believers. Perhaps it was used purposefully to send a clear message to his current and future followers and offer a radical brand of religion, one which was quite different from what they once understood. Perhaps Jesus was asking them to trust him and inviting them to take an enormous leap of faith, and through his offering of bread and wine, to develop a faith in one they could know intimately. Perhaps these words were used to explain a life of eternity beyond the one they were currently living. But many in the crowds didn't fully understand, and in their confusion, they began to push Jesus away. Some felt God had abandoned them, and now, once again, their hopes were found teetering upon Jesus' talk of flesh and blood. I believe Jesus was trying to demonstrate to the crowds that what he was representing was very different from their familiar concept of bread. It was not bread from their homes, and it was not even manna from heaven. Jesus was offering himself as the sustainer of life through his flesh and blood. Jesus was saying that his flesh and his blood was something very different. So consuming him was not cannibalism, but it was taking something into themselves so that they could finally realize who he was as he lived among them. Jesus wanted the early church to understand that they were to take him into themselves, to inwardly digest him, in order to receive the powerful connection with the divine spirit. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, is this not what we hope for when we come to the communion rail each Sunday? To eat the flesh and drink the blood in the form of bread and wine, seeking a divine connection with our God. We each come to the rail seeking solace. We each come to the rail knowing at times we disagree with God's actions, or sometimes we have even turned our backs on God. And yet somehow we find the courage to return to the rail in desperate need of the bread of life. Our abilities to digest that which Jesus offers us may often be compromised, but our desire for it does not lessen. This is Jesus' message when he constantly repeats and emphasizes, I am the bread of life. If we desire to truly know Christ, we must continuously draw near to him in order to receive that special part of his love which radiates through every cell of our being. This is what we seek when we come to the rail. In all of our imperfections and in all of our brokenness, we come believing that the Holy Spirit will work in and through our weary hearts and souls. We come believing that we will be continually nourished and invited into an intimate encounter of transformation, which actually is the central theme throughout John's Gospel. This week, a group of about 30 cathedral members embarked upon a civil rights pilgrimage to Memphis with Barclay and the Justice and Peace Council. The time we spent at the Civil Rights Museum, the Slave Haven, and even at St. Mary's Cathedral offered each of us an opportunity to stretch ourselves. And I know we all left Memphis changed. In one day, we experienced Jesus moments which could possibly fill this entire campus. And a much pleasant surprise for us was an unplanned visit to Aretha Franklin's home. Miss Franklin was one who knew a lot about Jesus being the bread of her life. She was a living icon of a well-nourished life. Throughout her musical career, her faith was always fully displayed as she truly transformed American culture, both black and white. Many have expressed that you could feel what she sang, and I often describe her as one whose songs were always a sermon. Miss Franklin understood at an early age her call and her purpose as she blessed and transformed lives, as she blessed and transformed the world. Her voice was captivating yet comforting. And as one person expressed on the news, her music and her life will always be the promise of transcendence and transformation. Now, we all may not be as musically gifted as Miss Aretha, but we all can be the best person God calls us to be. When we bring our God-given gifts and talents to the table and lavishly offer them in our communities, we continue the work of making our world a better place. Through the bread and the wine, we each are reminded that we are blessed to be a blessing. Through the bread and the wine, we each are given grace upon grace to bear witness to the gospel and to enter into a common life where love, truth, and justice reign. Today, may we too be reminded of just how fragile and fleeting our earthly lives are. And may we come to the common table renewed in our faith and strengthened to daily challenge ourselves to be the best version of ourselves as we can possibly be. May we rest in knowing that as we draw nearer to God, God will draw nearer to us. Hopefully today, as we embrace the body and blood of Christ, may we too recognize the promise of intimacy which accompanies it. Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross to save us. And in the sharing of the bread and wine, we become one with him. And as we share this experience of his sacrifice, we share it in a very personal way. The promise of the offering of bread and wine, whether we accept it symbolically or literally as the body and blood of Christ, is a promise of hope and communion with God and one another. It was indeed a radical promise Jesus made over 2,000 years ago, and that very same promise stands true for us today. Lest we forget, it is not a promise offered to those we deem rich or in good standing, or to those deemed as being the most holy among us. It is a promise made for all who have faith, for all who will simply receive the invitation to eat and to drink. In a few moments, the table will be set. Come to the altar rail. Receive the bread and wine. Receive Christ's body and blood, which is the ultimate gift. Accept it. Digest it as well as you can. Know that there is no gift more precious or nourishing than God's ever-present love. And know that what we receive from it lasts far beyond than any other meal we could ever consume. May you think prayerfully as you share in the Eucharist today, as you are invited to eat his flesh, to drink his blood. I invite you to be fed, to be saved, to be transformed. Amen.